My name's Sean Collier. There's Aaron Kliber.
Hey, friends.
Back in the Champagne Lounge at MacGuffin's.
Sean, I haven't seen you in such a long time.
I know. It's been a minute.
I missed your mane.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
If you haven't
seen
Sean's silver mane, it's glorious.
Hey, I'm making it work. And I dare say it would be an appropriate red carpet hairstyle.
You're so good. You're See so how good that, at this.
Because it's the Oscar episode, everybody. We are going to, Aaron and I are going to talk about what should be winning these things. And then Robin Hitchcock will be back on to do some predictions. So you can take money from people. You can take some money from people this Sunday night.
We're
going to
try.
Thanks to
three
us.
Three people.
This week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Oscar weekend.
Mm.
Friday, February 24th. Does that sound right?
24 and 25 is Friday and Saturday, so is it 26th?
That's the Oscar. That's Oscar night.
Yeah.
It's the 26th. Happy Oscars, everybody. We made it.
We made it, guys.
The award season has been going for 6 months
and
nine months.
Once again,
a
Transformers movie has not been nominated.
No Transformers.
It's coming though.
Pour one out for the movies that thought they were Oscar movies, like Patriot's Day and Live by Night and Gold with Matthew McConaughey and The Founder and. Nope. Miss Sloan with Jessica Chastain. And
I thought all those were going to be good.
Some of them were good. They just
I thought Gold was going to be pretty good.
Did you see it?
No.
That's not that good. I mean, it's fine.
Man.
It's fine.
I just like McConaughey a lot.
And he's like Tubby and Dumpy in this one, like Christian Bale in American Hustle.
Yeah.
He thought that would get it for him. It didn't. Big year.
Well.
So in the first half of the show, we are going to introduce the nominees. And say what should be winning and what should be nominated. We're going to offer some corrections.
Yeah. So if you in the first half of the if show. You have a poll going at work or at school, we have three people that love movies and that read a lot about movies. And Sean is an actual. I mean, come on, guys. You wouldn't be listening if you didn't know his credentials.
Right.
So don't blame us if you lose. But we're going to give you some pretty
and
good.
Especially in the second half of the show is going to be the predictions half. Where we tell you what's really like. Don't when it comes time for Oscar predictions. Don't sit at home and going, well, what they're gonna do is look it up. You want to win that pool? Go on the internet. You'll find out.
Yeah.
And we're gonna walk you through that.
Yeah.
But right now, we're gonna let a little of the passion out.
Yeah.
And we'll start with Best Supporting Actor. The nominees are Mahershala Ali for Moonlight, Jeff Bridges for Hell or High Water. Michael Shannon for Nocturnal Animals, Dev Patel for Lion, and Lucas Hedges for Manchester by the Sea. Of those, Aaron, who should win this award?
Pretty easy for me.
Yeah.
It's a pretty easy one. It's Mahershala Ali.
Yeah.
For Moonlight, absolutely.
He was a surprise. There was a surprise upset at the Golden Globes. Aaron Taylor Johnson.
He won the SAG Award, though.
He did, yeah.
I just tweeted his speech, which was, I thought, phenomenal. And it was a great recap of why the film is good.
Yeah.
It was, for anyone saying, hey, what's Moonlight?
Mm-hmm.
What's that about?
Right.
What's it like? Why should I watch it?
Mm-hmm.
Go watch Mahershala. Mahershala. Mm-hmm. Trying to get that H in there.
Mm-hmm.
Ali.
You got to roll over.
Go watch his SAG after speech. It's on my Twitter at Aaron Kliber.
And was that your vote? You vote for the SAG Awards.
Was that
your vote?
Yeah, that was my vote.
Yeah, he was my vote for the Critics' Choice Awards.
He did win that one as well. I thought Jeff Bridges was really good, but you know.
Jeff Bridges was my number two.
Lucas Hedges was good.
Yeah.
He was good.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see what else he has.
Yes.
I mean,
as he grows up.
Yeah, he's going to be doing some good stuff. He'll be good.
That's the clear choice, I think. Who should be here was Stephen Henderson in Fences.
Oh, yeah.
He was on my nominating ballot.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I thought, you know, he absolutely should have been nominated. Ben Foster in Hell or High Water got some attention.
He was good.
But, you know, all the hype around Denzel and Viola Davis, I think Stephen Henderson kind of got lost in the shuffle there and did a great job in Fences. The nominees for Best Supporting Actress, speaking of, Viola Davis for Fences, Nicole Kidman for Lion, Octavia Spencer for Hidden Figures, Naomi Harris for Moonlight, and Michelle Williams for Manchester by the Sea. We're getting to these first because, as you said, these are some easy choices.
Yeah, and I mean, this was a little closer than Best Supporting Actor for me, but I Michelle Williams was really good in Manchester by the Sea.
She was. There wasn't a lot there, though.
No.
I mean, that's really based on one scene, that nomination.
And, you know, I've said before, I was not crazy about Naomi Harris.
No, you weren't as impressed as I was.
No, I don't know. But, I mean, it's Viola Davis, God sakes. I mean, that woman made me cry at least twice.
Yeah.
I mean, man, was she good.
Really incredible. And if there's a problem with this, it's that she's not nominated for Best Actress.
Yeah, I was curious about that because she had a lot of screen time.
I think that's one of those times that, you know, it was the easier path to the nomination.
For the studio. Yeah. And a lot of people don't know that that's how that works.
The studio pushes. The studio puts out an ad
in
Variety and Hollywood Reporter every week for 3 or 4 months and sends stuff in the mail to everyone who votes. It says, please consider Viola Davis for Best Supporting Actress.
Right. So and then it's just like, oh, well, that's what we'll put her
right,
in.
Right. Right. But... she absolutely deserves to win.
She's unbelievable.
My who should be here, and I stand by this, is Kate McKinnon in Ghostbusters.
You know, I mean, I hear you on that. She definitely carried the whole movie.
Yeah.
She did. She carried the whole movie. Because even when some of the effects were not as good, she still carried it.
I liked the new Ghostbusters.
I liked it.
She was the only character that I thought was as memorable as the original Ghostbusters.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
And I'll tell you, I'm looking at my ballot right now. When I had to vote three people...
Yeah.
No, when I had to nominate three people, it was Viola Davis 1, Naomi Harris 3, Kate McKinnon was 2.
Yeah.
Even
the part, if you haven't seen Ghostbusters yet, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
You know, the part where she, takes on, 20 ghosts, I thought was so bad. It was so corny.
Yeah.
But then she was funny.
Right.
So the thing I hated the most, she still made it bearable.
Greta Gerwig was talked about for 20th Century Women. I'm really sick of her, so I'm not buying it. Octavia Spencer's interesting because I thought... Janelle Monáe might have been the best in Hidden Figures. I don't think you've seen Hidden Figures yet.
Dude, I did not get a screener. I've been waiting for a screener. I'm trying to watch it.
It's not in
many theaters, actually, either.
It made a ton of money.
Because I was out of
when
town.
When it came out.
And
but it kind of came and went.
I almost drove 21 miles to go see it.
You know what I said? This is tiniest little aside. When I was on vacation, I've already seen all of these. And one night I was like, I'll go to the movie. And I watched The Bye Bye Man and thumbs down on
that. It was
that
real
one.
Bad.
It was real, real bad. It was even worse actors than you normally encounter in a bad horror movie. There was a run of bad horror right now.
Oh,
Rings
yeah.
was bad, Bye Bye Man was bad, and what's the other one I'm thinking of? There were three bad horror movies.
The
in
one
January.
Right after Lights Out.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, in January, yeah. What else are we throwing out
your
here?
Your nominees for Best Director. We're just going to hit the big ones because, look, I got opinions on Best Sound Editing and Best Costume Design, but, you know, approach me privately if you want to hear them. So we'll go to Best Director. The nominees are Damien Chazelle for La La Land, Barry Jenkins for Moonlight, Kenneth Lonergan for Manchester by the Sea, Denis Villeneuve for Arrival, and, unfortunately, Mel Gibson for Hacksaw Ridge.
I mean, it's okay.
I just can't believe...
He should not have been nominated for Best Directing.
You know, people who... Jeff Nichols was not nominated for Loving. David McKenzie was not nominated for Hell or High Water. Denzel Washington was not nominated for Fences. And yeah. Mel Gibson was?
Well, nah, I mean, it's the film that he made. You know, I mean, people are still talking about, you know, Woody Allen, so... People are still being
I mean, problems with Mel Gibson aside.
Oh, yeah. I'm just getting that out of the way.
Hacksaw Ridge was not that great.
No. Absolutely not. And if you want to get any filmmaking if you want to give any filmmaking award defenses, I would be fine with directing. Because that is directing those characters nonstop.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't no shots of other things. It was all acting, and he directed that acting. So he was great.
Who should win this one? Because I went back and forth myself. I think there are three excellent choices.
Yeah, I agree. I would say La La Land is just that's a feat. That is a hell of a feat to direct.
When I nominated, I put Arrival at number one.
Yeah,
and then I changed my mind and voted for La La Land.
Yeah.
I think either of those are fine, and I think Moonlight is fine. I think any one of those three could win it, and I'd be happy.
Sure,
but. Man, you think about some of the...
What La La Land is. I mean, man.
You know, you could win it on the last 20 minutes of La La Land, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of what should be here, like, we just said it. Denzel for Fences and David Mackenzie for Hell or High Water, definitely.
Yeah, sure.
I liked Loving a lot, Jeff Nichols, but... you know, you could do this any number of things. The Screenplay Awards, briefly... Original screenplay, the nominees are Manchester by the Sea, La La Land, Hell or High Water, The Lobster, and 20th Century Women. What do you give it to? What do you give the nod to on that list?
Original screenplay?
Mm-hmm.
That's tough. Man, I can't remember what I voted for.
Yeah.
You know, I think I put Hell or High Water as original screenplay.
That's not bad.
I really liked that film. Now, I didn't say it was best picture or best actors in there. I mean, I just thought it was a real good kind of a modern take on a kind of a Cowboy Against the Law movie. And it was a great when I thought about it, I'm pretty sure I voted for that for screenplay.
Yeah.
When you think about it as a modern story, they did a great job at modernizing that cowboy versus the law type of story. It's good.
I'd be fine with that. As much as I like La La Land, I don't think it's great for the script.
Yeah.
I would probably say that I think it has to be Manchester by the Sea.
Okay.
Just for, you know, that if that were a novel, you'd be talking about it for a National Book Award, just the way that that's written. And what should be here, I nominated The Witch.
I remember you telling me that, and that's a great pick.
The period language on that is unbelievable. Yep. And
you got to remember, too, is that, and I'm going to bring this up on adapted screenplay as well.
Mm-hmm.
You got to remember, too, that what's written on the page is not just words.
Yeah.
I mean, they are describing what their world is.
Sure.
So it's very important to, like, when you look at, like, something like, you know, Mad Max Fury Road.
Right.
I think you can watch a featurette on the Blu-ray that talks about the writing of it and describe Frank Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Miller.
Frank Miller, Sin City.
Yeah.
What's his name?
I know. I just went blank.
It Frank Miller?
No.
Keep talking.
Oh my God, I just went blank.
Keep talking.
Oh my gosh, I said Frank Miller, and then I wanted to correct myself, and I was like, "Wait, what's his name?" It's that simple, dude.
What's your point?
Well, my point is
George Miller.
Yeah, George Miller. There we go. Oh man, I was like, "Wait, it's really similar."
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot that goes into the screenplay.
Right.
I'm just going to throw that out there.
The nominees for Best Adapted Screenplay are Moonlight, Arrival, Hidden Figures, Fences, and Lion. Five Best Picture nominees
all
in that category.
All really, really good films. Definitely the stronger writing category.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, from my point I just said, Arrival. Arrival should win.
Yeah. There's a curious thing here about Fences, because you're going to say that August Wilson's is not the best script.
Film screenplay.
However,
it is the best dialogue.
I think that
Yep.
Best, I think the award of best adapted screenplay is what kind of a job did you do taking a thing and turning it into a movie, which, as we've said, Fences is a filmed play. It's necessarily that. And the really weird thing is they insist on nominating August Wilson alone, who's been dead for, I think, 10 years.
Yeah.
August Wilson didn't do this work. They I get it. Respectfully, they want to credit him.
He did
a version of it in the 90s. Okay. That's not this script.
Gotcha, okay.
This script was prepared by Denzel and the playwright Tony Kushner. But they want to credit him. I get that.
Regardless.
But I'm not going to give him an Oscar for adapting something that he didn't work on.
But hands down, it's some of the best dialogue I've heard in a decade.
Should win, though.
Right, right.
Yeah. So for me, it's between Moonlight and Arrival. I'm fine with either one of those.
Yeah, and Moonlight is very good. I didn't think the dialogue was as good as Arrival.
You found some cliches in some of the dialogue.
I did, but it was very good for sure.
I'm fine with either one of those. Obviously,
visual effects. No,
visual effects. That's a fun one.
Dude.
Jungle Book, Rogue One, Doctor Strange, Kubo and the Two Strings, and Deepwater Horizon.
I'm going to go with Rogue One. I mean, you know, Jungle Book was great. Doctor Strange stole all of its CGI probably from the same files of Inception. So
Deepwater Horizon did look good.
I keep saying that.
I mean, Kubo, you know, that's tricky when you're getting into stop motion animation.
Deepwater Horizon was just fire.
Yeah, Rogue One. Let's
Fire
say Rogue
and
One.
Debris.
I want your pick for best animated feature.
Oh.
Although, have you only seen two of these movies? Zootopia, Kubo and the Two Strings, Moana, The Red Turtle, and My Life as a Zucchini.
You know,
no one has seen My Life as a Zucchini.
I wanted to see Red Turtle.
I've seen that.
How was that?
It's all right.
Okay.
Yeah. Nothing you got to see.
I thought Zootopia was really good.
I think Zootopia is the pick. Moana...
Kubo was good.
Yeah.
Moana was very good. But Zootopia was a really good movie.
Yeah.
It was a solid family movie, really creative.
I didn't sit down and watch
funny.
It. I didn't sit down and watch it again. I kind of put it on in the background one day. My kids watched it a couple times. Man, this is really, really
good. It's good. And it's fun to sit around with my kids and laugh at it. It's really funny.
The nominees for Best Actor. Let's get to the big ones.
All right, let's do it.
We got to watch a movie, guys. Sometimes these podcasts are recorded out of order. More on that later. The nominees for Best Actor are Ryan Gosling for La La Land, Andrew Garfield for Hacksaw Ridge, Casey Affleck for Manchester by the Sea, Viggo Mortensen for Captain Fantastic, and Denzel Washington for Fences.
Haven't even seen Captain Fantastic.
That's no one's idea of a winner. That's kind of a, hey, nice, cool little movie, and sure, we'll throw you one.
This is really tough because this is tough. It's between Casey and Ryan Gosling and Denzel for me.
Yeah, those are the three I nominated.
Yeah, I mean, I think Denzel gets the edge.
I agree.
He's just really good. I mean, God, that movie, when we talked, like before, when I was talking about, you know, how, you know, all these other movies have things going on.
Yeah.
Like in the screenplay, it was just like Denzel standing outside of a house.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
It was just them. So he was amazing.
Casey Affleck is really, really good.
He's really good.
Ryan Gosling is really, really good. Yeah. I don't think if you watched either of those movies back to back with Fences, you would say that guy is better than Denzel.
Yeah.
Right? I think Denzel is, and he's almost becoming, you know, when he makes something really good, it's almost that Meryl Streep thing where it's like, well, of course he's the best one. It's Denzel.
Yeah.
But
I think actress, best actress.
So Denzel should be there. I don't know who should be nominated that wasn't. People were saying Tom Hanks was a snub for Sully.
Get out of here. A snub.
People were saying Joel Edgerton for Loving. Andrew Garfield for Hacksaw Ridge. I didn't think there was a clear... Especially because, like...
Andrew Garfield did get nominated.
For Best Actor?
Yeah.
Oh, did I just say his name? Yeah, well, good for him. He's not going to win.
Good for him. That's ridiculous.
You know, Moonlight doesn't have a lead, a clear male lead. It's just an ensemble thing.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
Mahershala Ali. I thought it could have been.
I even thought the guy at the end, the last Chiron, Trevante Rhodes, maybe.
Oh yeah,
but
he was good. But you know,
Hell or High Water is all supporting roles, really.
Yeah, I mean, the studio for Moonlight could have been like, you ain't beating Denzel, bro.
Exactly.
Like, you look
exactly. Best Actress. The nominees are Ruth Negga for Loving. She was great. Meryl Streep for Florence Foster Jenkins. Natalie Portman for Jackie. Isabelle Huppert for Elle. And Emma Stone for La La Land. To skip ahead, the obvious one missing is Amy Adams.
Yeah, that was that blew my mind.
And you know, Meryl, I think, got, you know, she was great. She was great in that movie. She got nominated as a bit of trolling Donald Trump, which I have no objection to.
Right.
But I'm really surprised that Amy Adams was the one locked out of that.
Yeah.
That said, I think this is Natalie Portman. Isabelle Huppert won the Golden Globe. Emma Stone was great. I did you see Jackie?
Yes.
Yeah. I thought that was
I liked it a lot.
I thought the performance was sensational.
She was dead on.
Right.
I mean, that was one of those performances where I would say is like McConaughey in Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah.
You forgot it was him.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, when you forget who the actress is, I remember halfway through that movie thinking, oh my gosh, this is Natalie Portman.
Right.
Like, this is, wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
I wouldn't have a problem with go ahead.
I don't think Ryan Gosling's going to win, so what if they give this to Emma Stone for La La Land?
I think there's a little chance. Well, actually, let me take that back because
I think there's a little chance.
We'll skip ahead to what's coming up
Ryan
later.
Ryan Gosling could be the only person to take Denzel, if it's possible.
Skipping briefly ahead to what's most likely to win, now that I'm looking, 26 experts polled, 22 of them said Emma Stone is going to win. So
I'm saying.
I don't think she should. I think it's definitely Natalie Portman.
I think it's Natalie Portman, but Emma was very good.
She was very good, and she'll have a very adorable speech.
She'll be fine.
She'll do all right. And let's just go to Best Picture.
Okay.
And then we'll be back with more. The nominees for Best Picture are Hell or High Water, La La Land, Fences, Moonlight, Hacksaw Ridge, Hidden Figures, Lion, Manchester by the Sea, and Arrival. And you know what we're going to say should win?
Hacksaw Ridge in there is so silly to me.
It's ridiculous.
Doesn't make sense. Actually,
I mean, if you want to talk about what should be
it
there
instead.
It was
an okay war movie. It was okay.
Jackie is much better.
Jackie. Where's Jackie?
Where's Jackie?
God.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that I liked a lot more.
I'm trying to think what else could have been in there.
What was in our top 10? Well, you know, what the talk of the town
what?
Right before nominations came out is there was this buzz that, hey, Deadpool might get nominated for Best Picture. I wouldn't go that far, but that would have been fun. I would say Jackie or maybe Silence I would give above Hacksaw Ridge.
Hmm. Okay.
So what should win? And we'll in half an hour or so I'll be telling you what's going to win. What should win? I stand by Moonlight. I if they say Moonlight or La La Land or Arrival, I'm not going to have a problem with
Moonlight's
any of those
definitely
three.
Up there in the top half for me, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say not Lion. I'll say not Hacksaw Ridge. I would say not Manchester by the Sea.
No.
It's great. It's not a best picture to me. I would say the same thing about Hell or High Water. I love it. That's not a best picture.
Yeah.
You know, really the four of these that really deserve to be there to me are Fences, La La Land, Moonlight, and Manchester by the Sea. And I would throw Hidden Figures in there.
You said the ones that belong there?
Yeah.
You didn't say Arrival at all.
Oh, I'm sorry. Arrival, La La Land, Moonlight, Fences, Hidden Figures.
Yeah, okay.
If we go back to the days when there were five, I would say those are the five. Right.
Yeah, good call.
You know, I think Moonlight should win this, but there's a couple I wouldn't have a problem with. How about you? And your number one of the year was Fences, but you'd say you wouldn't do that for Best
Fences
Picture.
Was my favorite movie of the year. Arrival was my second.
Yeah.
And I believe La La Land was my third.
Yeah.
So they were my three top picks. But it's funny, I'll go complete opposite when it comes to Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think my third pick is going to win. I think La La Land is going to win. I just think it's such a I mean, you know, look, it was my third favorite, but yeah. It's a feat. It is a spectacularly done film in something very new and different.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, but I would not. But Moonlight, great, fine. It's a beautiful film.
Closing thoughts. I can't tell you who's going to host this show. I do not know who's hosting this year's Oscars as we sit here.
Oh,
is it Jimmy Fallon?
I think it's Jimmy Fallon.
No, he just did the Golden Globes. He wouldn't be doing both.
Joel McHale.
No, he's not. He's not. It's not Neil Patrick Harris again.
No, it's
is
not.
It? Who the hell is
who's
doing
hosting
it?
This year's Oscars?
Yes, Siri.
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel.
That's odd.
Really? Okay, he could be
it
fun.
Be the first time hosting the Oscars, the granddaddy of all awards shows for Kimmel, who has been the face of ABC's late night telecasts since.
It's just reading the thing to me.
Hey, hey, thanks, Siri. Yeah. You know, Siri is a credited actress in the Lego Batman movie.
Yeah. She followed me on Twitter.
Siri?
The actress. Yeah.
Well, there's no actress. It's just Siri.
No, there's an actress who does the voice of Siri.
No, that's a computer-generated voice.
No, it's a woman.
There's a woman who lent her voice to Siri that's now modulated within the Apple thingy?
Yes.
Huh.
Her voice is modeled after it.
Okay.
So
the actress followed you.
Yes. She said, the voice of Siri, no, really, look it up.
Huh.
Yeah.
How about that?
And it's and then there's a video of her talking, and you're like, holy shit, that's Siri.
I can't believe you haven't seen Lego Batman yet.
Dude, I was out of town. I was busy. You took my kids.
I did. Well, yeah.
You had to stepdaddy while I was gone.
Anyway. It's really good. Hey, enjoy the Oscars. We'll be last year, there's a very exclusive Cool Kids in Pittsburgh Oscar party that I was invited to for the first time last year.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not going to tweet so I could be respectful of the new invitation. Now it's the second year. I'm like, I'm going to tweet a little bit. We're going to be tweeting during the Oscars.
Yeah, no, it's fun. It's a room full of comedians.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
no, it'll be
fun.
Good. We should live stream it.
It's the owners of Arcade Theater.
Do Facebook Live on that.
Comedians.
Not Facebook Live is always like, oh, some guy you don't care about is sitting in his car bitching. No, live stream this.
Well,
we're not going to. We're going to tweet, though.
Well, I'll see you guys later.
Yeah. And
second half, you're going to be joined with Sean and Robin.
Hitchcock.
Who just said Robin Hitchcock.
She's one of those people that you're like, who won Best Director in 2002? And she knows. So she knows Oscar stuff.
Sure.
So we're going to have her on. And then next week is going to be Logan. And unfortunately, Aaron's not going to be here. Eric Leslie will join me again to talk about Logan next week. And you'll be back.
I know.
Yeah, we'll get you. We'll get you
in
again.
I don't know what's going on.
Listen to last week's episode about the Great Wall. That was something. We haven't actually watched.
Nope, haven't even seen it yet.
All right.
But I'll go back next week, Back to the Future style, and see what I thought about the movie.
That makes sense. We'll be back after this word from the Epicast Network.
Hey guys, this is Marta from Marta on the Move. I hope you're enjoying this podcast. When you're done with this one, you should go check out mine on www.martaonthemove.com. On the Epicast Network, you can find me on Twitter at @ICan'tFindMarta. If you like interesting people and places in Pittsburgh, food and drink, travel advice, and general nerdery, check it out and keep it moving.
And we're back. Several days later and in another place, thanks to the miracle of recording. That's we're at a point where I can't call that a miracle anymore. I just, you know, the technology to record sound, that's pretty standard. I just always say that because the year after the Pittsburgh Pirates long-term organist died, they had a ceremony on opening day, and they said, through the miracle of technology, his music will stay with us. And I'm like, that's a little bit of a grandiose way of saying, we're going to play a tape.
I like it, though. That's sweet.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Robin's back, everybody.
Hi.
Robin joined us a couple weeks ago to allegedly review films, but more just say things.
We reviewed cinema.
Right.
Yeah, the concept of movie watching.
Which is, I enjoy, Robin and I have been hanging out on Monday nights because my girlfriend, Mary Beth, and her bandmate, Ian, are in Robin's 101 class.
Yeah.
And you like to go out afterwards.
I do.
Talk about how the class went until I show up. And then we just go, movie name, actor name.
It's true.
And everyone else talks amongst themselves.
Yep.
Yeah. But here today, well, Robin's going to be here for 90 seconds until I throw her out for liking Trolls.
That's a strong word. I enjoyed it for what it was. And I could easily imagine my nieces, who are 3, 4, and 5, loving it.
I hate children's movie does a sunny technicolored version of a pop hit, which was like...
That's the entire movie.
The whole movie.
Yeah.
And I was, write your damn songs. This is a vehicle for Justin Timberlake. Just have him write more than two songs.
I was really surprised that there were only two original songs in it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's why I'm watching it, because one of them got nominated for an Oscar.
Right. Robin is sort of Oscar death racing, but because Passengers.
Right. I am doing my best. It is basically impossible if you don't live in New York or LA to Oscars death race, which is see every Oscar nominated movie. But I'm doing my best, and this is actually my best year yet. This is the first time I've ever watched everything in the major categories.
Oh, are you already there?
So yes, I did best picture, best director, screenplays, and acting categories. I've seen everything.
All right.
Go me.
What's the most important movie you haven't seen yet? It's probably one of
the Salesman, probably. Yeah.
I have that sitting at home, and it's been a good month of, oh, I'm going to watch that.
Yeah. I'm going to go see it after this. So.
Oh, are you? Okay. Yep. Maybe I'll watch it at home. That would be a very lazy version of what you're doing, but like...
And I haven't seen I Am Not Your Negro. That just came out.
Oh, yeah. That also is on my pile of, here, I'm going to watch this. I decided I wasn't death racing because if I have extra time... I'm spending it at Harry Potter Festival.
Which is completely valid.
Which started, as we're recording this, started yesterday. I had a very, very successful, I think, this sounds like something Trump would say. very great, great, huge first day as the Sorting Hat.
Oh.
The key is, just call all the children Gryffindor, and then everybody's happy. And if someone comes up and on stage and says, I want anything but Hufflepuff... Man, are they getting Hufflepuff.
Oh, rude. Sean is a Hufflepuff.
Yeah, yeah. And like many people said that while I was clearly like standing 6 feet away from the hat with a microphone wearing 3 Hufflepuff garments. So it's like, you just deserve this for not being observant. But no, I'm definitely not going to get to some of these. Like, I'm not going to get to... I don't really know what Tana is, the 5th foreign language nominee.
It's actually pretty cool. It's filmed in Vanuatu. I don't actually know if that's how you pronounce that country. And
it is, and I know because of a Survivor season.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a Romeo and Juliet story in this tribe there.
Oh, that's nice.
It's actually a very nice little movie.
My Life as a Zucchini is the one that's like, no one can see this at all.
It does not exist in America.
And I'm not going to... I'm not going to go back to watch 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi to have seen all 5 best sound mixing nominees.
So I think that I am, but only because it's on Hulu and the firm that I work at is closing. And so I'm going through our backlog of documents that need to be shredded and I can have movies on in the background while I shred documents.
That sounds like a background movie if I ever heard
one. It's 2.5 hours long. And
really?
No, it's not quite that long.
I'm definitely not watching it.
But I do actually have some fun information about how long the Oscars death race takes.
Oh, there we go.
I'm trying to pull. It's like really hard to use this. It's roughly 6 days of watching movies. And if you don't sleep and just, you know, credits to credits.
I would, you know... maybe begin to reevaluate my life if I did that with my overall movie watching.
Yes.
As I think my 2016 releases ended at about 130. So that's at least 260 hours.
Yeah.
You would want to say. So how many days is that? That's close to 2 weeks, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the things I definitely didn't spend 2 weeks of last year doing. Yeah. And it's like, anyway,
all right,
though,
let's talk our predicts.
Oscars. So Aaron and I, if you were here for the first half of the episode, which it would be weird if you skipped that and just came straight to this, but hey.
I'd understand.
Know, yeah, Robin would totally get it. Let's start with Best Supporting Actor. Who's going to win, Robin?
It's going to be Mahershala Ali.
Yeah.
That's how you pronounce that. I had to listen to it on YouTube.
You did one of those, had a robot voice say it for you?
No, actually.
Oh, there's that YouTube channel that just does
correct,
that.
Pronounce names. Yeah, it's great.
Only the Oscar presenters would know about that YouTube page.
So something that my family has done in our Oscars tradition is that when we do our Oscars pool, you get two ranked choices. And so you get 5 points if your first choice wins and 3 points if your second choice wins. Mm-hmm. And this is really fun, especially in a year like this when La La Land is going to win everything.
Right.
Because you can hedge your bets. Mm-hmm. But I have no idea who is second most likely to win Best Supporting Actor.
Well, I give them so much free advertising. I go to Gold Derby. And if you find the exact right site, they can just say, we've got 26 experts. Here's how they're voting.
Yeah.
As of today, 22 say Mahershala Ali. Did I say it right?
I think so.
Is going to win. The rest are spread 2 for Dev Patel, 1 for Jeff Bridges, and 1 for Michael Shannon. Sorry, Lucas
Poor
Hedges.
Poor Lucas Hedges.
You're
I
too
was
young.
Excited he got nominated. Yeah. I thought he was great.
Good for him.
I do have Dev Patel listed as my second choice for now, although I reserve the right to change it up until Oscar night. Mm-hmm. But largely because of category fraud, like he should be in the best actor category, even though he's only in the last hour of the movie. He is the main character.
Yeah, I think that's right. That gets tricky with something like Moonlight, where there's no lead actor
correct.
In that movie. But... Yeah, I guess if it's anyone but Ali, that makes the most sense. But honestly, this is, I don't want to say a weak category, but it's kind of, you know, Lucas Hedges is in there like, you did very well for someone your age.
Yeah.
Michael Shannon and Jeff Bridges are there.
Playing the same character.
Like, we like it when you do this thing you do all the time. And Dev Patel is, you know.
Incredibly handsome.
Yeah, he's real good looking. And Lion is
he was a great actor in that movie too, but he's also just devastatingly handsome.
I really feel that Lion is this year's, we're going to nominate you for a bunch of things because there's no way you're winning any of them.
Fair enough.
Lion is good. I liked it genuinely. I have very little negative things to say about Lion.
Same.
It was in at least my top 25, but it's just kind of there. Aaron hadn't watched it yet, and he said, I got to get to it. And my reply was, you can if you want to. If you don't, the moment the Oscars end is the last time in your life you're ever going to think about this movie.
Oh, I don't think so.
Really?
I cried so much at the end of that movie. And I saw it on like in a crowded theater on a Friday night, and mm-hmm. everyone was crying as we walked out. Like, that's a powerful thing. That's why we go to the movies.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's definitely not going to win it. I don't mm-hmm. know. I felt, to me, it's a little bit of a screwy narrative because it's a whole biography. I'm big on story structure.
Yeah.
And it has none.
Correct.
But that one is a very safe bet. Even safer, though, is Best Supporting Actress, I would say.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be Viola Davis.
But again, we were saying Viola.
Yep.
Well, you learned so much on this podcast, how to take some money from your friends. This is, theoretically, you and I will be competing against one another.
That's true, yes.
And I'm not...
You won last year at our party. I did terribly because I didn't foresee the coming of Mad Max.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I only foresaw because it swept so much at the Critics' Choice Awards, which was in part because of me voting for it for everything.
Right.
So really, this was sort of, I'm going to take all the credit for that.
That's completely valid.
This was the first year that I obviously could take credit for something at the awards because... for best original screenplay, La La Land and Manchester by the Sea tied.
That sounds about right.
I voted for Moonlight, So if I had picked...
you could have been a tiebreaker.
If I had picked either one of those, I would have been a tiebreaker.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that Moonlight used to be in the original category. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it switched halfway through.
Yeah.
In any case, Viola Davis is, you know, like, it's one of those you can print her name on the thing now.
Also category fraud. She also should be nominated for Best Actress, but I completely understand why they didn't, because she got cheated back in 2011.
Yeah.
And she, seeing her rematch against Meryl Streep in the main actress category would be a nail biter.
Yeah. I really want her to have an Oscar, and
if this
is how it has to happen.
Oh, I thought she was fantastic.
Oh, no, she was great.
Yeah. Better in Fences than she was in The Help, which was kind of a terrible movie.
Yeah, man, that you know, you talk about like the... Here we're getting into weird social stuff.
Stop
again.
Us.
If you want to know like the difference between your woke and unwoke liberal friends, talk to them about The Help.
Okay.
Because the unwoke ones will be like, it was so great.
Okay.
Right?
It had some good acting in it.
It sure did.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, it's the white savior movie to end all white savior movies.
It is absolutely that.
And I say that having seen The Great Wall this week, which was surprising, which was bad for many reasons. That actually wasn't the main one.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I look forward to hearing about it.
Yeah. If you want, if you vote like Robin's family and do a number two, I guess it's Michelle Williams.
I would say it's Michelle Williams just because her one big scene was so...
Yeah.
That's like the best scene in that movie.
Right.
And it's, you know, definitely considered to be one of the best movies in the year. So that's what a supporting actor is all about.
Right, right. It's a shame that I'm pretty sure Hidden Figures is going to win nothing. This might have been the best shot in a year without
I know.
Viola Davis. But
yeah.
It's a Help rematch, everybody. Anyway, so what else? I'm trying to remember what order we talked about things are in the first half of this episode. Let's talk about Best Director. Maybe that's what I said next.
Okay.
Who's going to win Best Director?
I have Damien Chazelle. I think that La La Land is going to win an absurd number of Oscars, and it's going to be boring after a point.
Now, when we last spoke, you hadn't seen La La Land.
That is
yet.
Correct. So, and I did see it this week.
Give your brief thoughts.
I really liked it, and I was not expecting to at all, because I'm not really into musicals, and there's been a good amount of backlash against it because people love it so much, but I hit it at the right point in the backlash sine curve and just adored it. I don't think it's not my favorite movie this year.
Mm-hmm.
If I were voting, and I loved Moonlight too, but if I were voting, I would vote for Hidden Figures.
For Best Picture?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's the movie that I liked the most this year.
Why? You've now seen all nine nominees.
That is correct.
Picture. Yeah.
Yes. I would be a little bit torn between Hidden Figures and Moonlight.
Okay.
And then I would also like probably try to learn how the very confusing preferential voting system works so that I could influence it, but I can't. And it doesn't matter because I am not a member of the Academy. But
yet.
But Hidden Figures to me is like, I think what a lot of people are saying about La La Land, where it's like, it's the magic of the movies, you know? Hidden Figures is like, here's this incredible true story that we are going to tell you in the most heartwarming, uplifting way.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
I liked it a lot. And anything... But I've actually avoided talking about it to a certain extent, because anything I say about it is why Beyonce didn't win Best Album. It's because I'm a white male person evaluating it.
Okay.
Because because that's where I'm coming from, I don't feel like I necessarily have the best perspective on Hidden Figures.
Yeah.
If you sat me down and say, okay, why did you evaluate it like you did? I would say, all right, the romantic subplot felt completely superfluous.
Oh, I loved it.
I hated that Kevin Costner was there because he was in a movie where he dropped an N-bomb 12 months ago or 24 months ago.
Which movie?
Black or White.
Oh, I, that passed my notice, fortunately.
Oh, that was that. That's a this was considered an Oscar contender.
Oh, okay.
Where he has a, I think his daughter died, and her his daughter had a half white, half black daughter. So it's his granddaughter, and he is taking her into his very privileged world, and it's a conflict between.
Oh boy.
And he straight up like is arguing with, I think, her biological father, and calls him a street N-word.
And, oh boy.
And then defends that in court. Like this, like that movie has the line, I said that because that's how you talk about yourself.
So I, one thing I liked, we're talking too much about this, but one thing I liked about Kevin Costner's character in Hidden Figures is that he is not a white savior. He's like, I'll allow it.
Right.
Like, you know, they have this scene where he like breaks down the colored sign for her restroom. And it's not because he's this great non-racist person, but because he's annoyed at her taking long breaks.
Yeah. No, I didn't have a problem with that character, and I thought it was pretty well done.
Yeah.
I'm just still mad at him about that real racist thing. So it's like, I don't want you in any kind of movie that deals with race ever again.
Yeah.
I believe that you, Kevin Costner, are fundamentally an okay person and just missed widely on that thing, well, which nobody saw.
I mean, he didn't write that, did he?
No.
And, like, you still like Leonardo DiCaprio, and he said the N-word, like, 1,000 times in Django Unchained.
Yeah, I think this also has something to do with him doing a talk show circuit to defend that.
Okay, yeah.
But anyway,
okay.
You know what no one cares about? The Kevin Costner movie, Black or White. but Hidden Figures was great, and it absolutely deserves to be in there, regardless of whether or not I would vote for
right.
it. We can stop there before I say something stupid.
Yes.
Damien Chazelle, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, he's going to win Best Director.
Yeah, I think there is, and the odds makers bear this out, I think there's the slightest chance that
Barry Jenkins
gets the, like, we really, really liked Moonlight. It's definitely not what's going to win Best Picture, so here.
Yes.
But I think that's very unlikely.
Yeah, that's my second choice.
Yeah.
But it's going to be Damien Chazelle for Shurzies.
Yeah. Which I'm not upset about or anything. I mean, right. that was really, really impressive and unconventional direction. That's kind of what the award is for.
That's true. And he made a good movie.
Yeah. So how close is, because I really expected you to be like La La Land overrated. And
me too.
Yeah.
So on my ranking of the movies that I saw, and, you know, going back to like perspective, you know, I'm white, and my favorite movie that I saw for the Oscars Death Race was 20th Century Women.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's better. It's just closer to my lived experience.
Yeah.
And so I liked it more, mm-hmm. you know. But I would say that my favorite was Hidden Figures, of the Best Picture nominees was Hidden Figures, like with Moonlight just a hair below it.
Yeah.
And then La La Land.
Okay.
Yeah. And a good step in between, because like when I watched Moonlight, I was like, that movie is perfect. I have no comments. Mm-hmm. And when I watched La La Land, I was like, wow, I really like that. Well, and I could go on for 20 minutes about La La Land.
Yeah. That's what it... I mean, for me, it came down to the week I voted. I watched both of those again because I knew that nothing else was quite there for me. And, you know, when I rewatched La La Land, it was like, eh, that's really good. And when I rewatched Moonlight, it was like, oh, that's the best picture of the year.
Right.
It was almost entirely on feeling like these are really excellent movies. This one over here is the best of them.
Right.
Which is kind of how it goes. But yeah, there are, you can make arguments about La La Land, and I do find myself defending La La Land a lot, which I will do. I don't think it matters that they can't sing and dance. I think that's part of
that was appeal. One of my criticisms. I thought they could dance though.
Yeah.
I thought, especially Ryan Gosling, very light on his feet.
I think that's a thing. I mean, I think like, and people I respect are like, there are such great musical theater performers in the world. I'm like, yeah, who are entirely inappropriate for this film.
Yeah, it's a movie. But why not dub them? That's what they used to do, and it worked out great.
I think that moment has passed.
Well, stupid technology.
But I do feel exactly the opposite about biopics.
Like, oh, really?
I don't think Jamie Foxx should have sang in Ray. I don't care how much he sounds like it.
I get that, yeah.
Who just did that for real? Was it Get On Up dubbed James Brown's vocals in? I think it did.
Oh, good.
I don't think Chadwick Boseman can sing like James Brown.
Well, who can?
Right. Which is like, yeah, and especially in Walk the Line, where Joaquin was good,
yep.
But like, no, just do Johnny Cash,
right.
Because anything else is going to be like, you get into that kind of sound uncanny valley,
yes.
Where it's like, this sounds just enough like Johnny Cash to make me confused.
I agree.
But I feel I don't feel
the
that
other
way
thing
about
La La Land and the singing. It wasn't just that I thought they're not very good singers. I don't think that they're very good songs. Like, it's yeah. They're just okay. And like, there's nothing like super catchy about them.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's frustrating because there's two nominated, and I assume City of Stars is the one people think is going to win, which I thought was the lesser of the two songs.
I thought that was the lesser of the two songs until I realized that The Fools Who Dream is definitely Rainbow Connection.
That
again.
Is true. You are right. But that's a good song.
It's nice, but like, it was stuck in my head for weeks. It really was.
Okay.
And then I was walking around one day humming it, and then after 20 seconds, I was humming the Rainbow Connection.
Okay.
And I was like, wait, oh my God, it's the same song.
Okay.
Which, you know, then you don't get to win Best Original Song
right.
to me.
Fair enough.
I ended up voting for City of Stars. Now we're on song, everybody. You
yeah.
didn't notice it, but it happened. I ended up voting for City of Stars. I think I want How Far I'll Go to win.
I want How Far I'll Go to win for EGOT reasons.
Not just EGOT.
What is it?
PGOT.
What does that even mean?
Which is an EGOT with a Pulitzer on top of it.
Oh, wow. Does anyone have that yet?
Only Marvin Hamlisch and Richard Rodgers.
Oh, good old Hamlisch.
He would be the third.
Oh, that would be so lovely. Yeah. I feel like they're not doing a good enough job pushing that angle in the press. I feel like that would sway a lot of Academy voters.
Would it, or would it go make Academy voters go, well, I'm not going to vote for it just for that?
Oh, well, I don't know how important movie people think, but it would definitely sway me. Also, it's a good song. I will say he does rhyme this island with this island like 10 times.
That's part of why when I nominated, I put You're Welcome on.
You're Welcome was the best song in that movie, and
absolutely.
It was the most Lin-Manuel Miranda-y.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There's a version on the soundtrack that's just, we're going to mix this like it's Hamilton. Here you go.
I love it.
It's one of the singers from the current cast of Hamilton, but Lin-Manuel does the rap verse, and it just sounds like a Hamilton song.
It would be... apparently, that's Disney's fault. They did not advance that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. City of Stars will probably win,
yeah.
because the thing that's going to win Best Picture is a musical, so obviously.
Right.
Maybe How Far I'll Go, and then we'll get, like, the best speech ever. Speaking of
right.
things no one saw, Jim, the James Foley story.
I saw that.
How is it? What is it?
It's a movie about James Foley, who was an independent journalist who was captured in Libya, and then he came home, and then I think he got captured again in Syria, mm-hmm. and he was in captivity for like a year, and it was really horrible, and then they executed him.
Was it good?
It was fine.
It was a documentary about a sad, important thing.
Yeah. I talked to his family a lot, and that was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to sort of like do he was a great man, but had hubris, and they didn't quite get there.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But it held my attention.
And what's the song?
It's by Sting.
Oh, this is the 45 plus adult contemporary artist.
Correct.
Did a song for a movie you didn't see.
Correct.
Nominee.
It's a sad song about grief.
Yeah. No one cares about best score. I really, really care about best score.
Oh, that's cool.
Because the scores I really like are rarely nominated and never win. So
interesting.
This year, I thought the best score was definitely Arrival.
I did like that a lot.
Well,
wasn't that nominated?
It is not nominated because they disqualified it because there's like a sample in it that's used a lot.
The rules for what gets to be a best original score are weird.
This isn't like oh, one of those songs is another song that already exists.
Right.
This is like they took a noise. They took a weird vocal noise from a 50-year-old French song because that's how music is made in the 21st century.
Right.
So, but that was enough to make the Academy go, you're not an original score anymore. That said, La La Land, sure, that's perfectly acceptable because the score to La La Land is way better than the songs.
Agreed,
from
completely.
Land.
Although it's the same person who wrote them.
Yeah.
So he's just not a lyricist.
Moonlight Lion, Jackie and Passengers. Moonlight and Jackie also have really, really good scores.
The score for Moonlight was very striking to me. Mm-hmm. And then I actually saw Jackie like 2 days later, and it's kind of similar. It's it's like, I guess that's just the thing right now is like discordant strings is like...
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for discordant noise because like... Okay. My favorite stuff is usually like the Mad Max Fury Road score. I love the It Follows score, the other stuff, the Revenant I liked a lot. I like big, noisy chaos scores.
How's the Passenger score?
Really unremarkable.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you're now you're an Oscar nominee for this? It has one other, doesn't it? Maybe visual effects?
Production design. Which I find offensive. Just based on the trailer, I don't think that's good production design.
I mean, it's the ship from WALL-E.
Yeah.
Photographed. It's, yeah. Anyway, hey, maybe something that someone's interested in. Let's get to that.
Sure.
How about the screenplay awards? Who you got for best original screenplay, Robin?
Manchester by the Sea.
Why?
I
think we're going to have the same reason.
Okay. Basically, that's one of those movies that people thought was really good. Mm-hmm. It's probably not going to win anything but this and Best Actor.
Mm-hmm.
And Best Actor is not even a lock.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where people will put their chip saying, I liked Manchester by the Sea.
You already said all those things, so I don't have to say them again.
Yeah.
Like, you can make the same argument for Hell or High Water, but I don't think people like Hell or High Water quite enough.
Also, if you actually read the screenplay, it's incredibly gross.
For Hell or High... Oh, yeah, you told me.
Yeah, it's like the male writer, her breast-breasted, breastily thing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's which I'm sure will be nominated next year. The new film, Her Breasts, Breasted, Breastly. La La Land, maybe. But it's not like... La La Land only if we get into that, oh shit, La La Land is winning every
Everything.
Award.
Yeah.
That's the script is not the thing there. Like there
right.
are bad moments in the script for La La Land.
Yeah,
and I'm saying this about a movie I love almost unconditionally, but there are still like words in there that's like, adapted screenplay. Now that Moonlight is rightfully an adapted
correct
screenplay, it's almost definitely going to win.
Yeah, my second choice there is Arrival,
mm-hmm.
Because that is to me. It's definitely the best thing in the movie that was nominated.
Yes.
Right. I would say maybe Amy Adams' performance was the best part of the movie for me.
Yeah, she's awfully good.
Yeah.
And I really think that I don't think that she lost her spot in we'll go to Best
okay.
Actress next because we transitioned. See how smooth it was
yeah.
and how I'm ruining that smoothness. Moonlight's going to win Best Adapted Screenplay. I don't think Amy Adams lost her nomination to Ruth Negga for Loving. I think that people just didn't notice that she had a lot of support all along.
Yes.
I think she lost her nomination to Meryl Streep.
I completely agree.
Which purely is there as an FU to Trump. That's, to me, why Meryl Streep is nominated.
Explain.
People liked Florence Foster Jenkins.
Yeah.
It had no real broad support.
Because Meryl Streep's speech at the Golden Globes,
right,
which is right before they vote.
Exactly.
Okay, there you go.
The Golden Globes very deliberately happen right before Oscar nominations
right.
are due. So Florence Foster Jenkins was fading hard.
Yeah.
Didn't Hugh Grant was expected to win something and didn't? I forget
the
what
Golden Globe.
The Golden Globe for Best Actor in a Comedy, and then it went
yeah.
to...
I don't know. Oh, I guess Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, because it's
correct.
Musical or comedy.
And that movie was just... And Florence Foster Jenkins is great. It's a lovely film.
I liked it.
But its support was waning. You never need to nominate Meryl. You nominate Meryl when either she's brilliant or you have four and don't know what to do. And then you ask yourself, what
Who
did Meryl do this
Who is the best actress?
Year? Right.
Right. I thought it was interesting you said Trump because my friend Liz Labaz said she didn't want to see Florence Foster Jenkins because she thought it was like in the age of Trump kind of thing, because it's about a person who has no talent but has enough money that it doesn't matter.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. That's not how I appreciated the movie, but I understand her perspective there.
No, I appreciate the movie as a lovely light comedy.
Yeah.
That doesn't have much to say, really.
Right.
And when and in the crying line at the end where she's dying and says, what is it? They might say I couldn't sing, but they can't say I didn't sing.
Right.
I legitimately got choked up a little bit.
Because it's Meryl, she's so good.
Right. That said, she took the nomination. I think after the Golden Globe speech, it was like, how can we make Trump know he's dumb in a way as Oscar voters?
Yeah.
And they were like, by nominating Meryl Streep for the 20th time.
Literally.
Yes, this is her 20th. And it's a shame that Amy Adams didn't get nominated.
Right.
That said, she wasn't winning anyway. Who
Correct.
Is?
All right. Well,
this is actually a lot trickier than people think,
so
I believe.
So I think it's going to be Isabelle Huppert. And I am putting that in my first place, even though part of me does not think that's going to happen and it's going to be Emma Stone.
Yeah. I didn't think that would happen at the Globes.
See,
she wasn't competing against Emma Stone because Emma Stone was a musical or comedy.
That's
I still
correct.
Thought Natalie Portman would beat her there.
I had just, the only reason I had heard of Elle before you asked me to watch it for the podcast was because people were saying this woman's going to win an Oscar. And the other thing is there is a significant portion of film nerds in the Academy who have loved her entire career.
Which I don't know anything about.
Neither do I,
because
we're Americans.
Yeah.
But she was in Amour.
Okay.
But she's like, you know, a French actress who's been doing great work for 30 years.
Yeah.
So they're into that.
Yeah.
And she was the best actress.
Yeah. I mean, like, I want to make an argument for Natalie Portman, which I just love Natalie Portman a whole lot.
Yeah, she's great.
But as
she
we talked about...
She also won 6 years ago, so...
Right, right. She's a recent winner. And as we talked about, the subject matter of Elle is so, like... It's hard to wrap your mind around it as a viewer. So the task of wrapping your mind around it as the actress is incredible.
Right.
So
I'm saying it's going to be her, but I don't really think it's going to be her. I think it's going to be Emma Stone. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You're saying it because if it is, you want to look real smart.
Correct.
And that's
exactly it.
When I give you these numbers from Gold Derby, there's 26 people who are geniuses at predicting the Oscars.
Yeah.
So when I say that only three of them agree with you about, that doesn't mean, oh, there's no chance. That means three people who are really good at this are convinced that you're right.
Okay.
It's just 22 others think Emma Stone is going to win.
All right.
Which, she feels like the DiCaprio in Titanic to me here. Like,
she's not what makes the movie great?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Emma Stone.
Me too.
The character is very charming.
I agree.
She nails it.
Yep.
I think other actresses could have done it.
I agree.
We talked about how Emma Watson was the original choice.
I think that Emma Watson would have been great.
She might have even been better. And I love Emma Stone.
Emma Watson is a fantastic dancer.
Is she?
Yes.
I'm trying to think. Picture
I've
her dancing in something
her,
other
I've
than...
I've only seen her dancing on The Tonight Show, but she's a fantastic dancer.
And she dances in the club in The Bling Ring.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of this had Oscar buzz. and I guess she's about to dance with the Beast.
Right?
Yeah. I wonder if it'll be less problematic this time. Anyway.
Doubtful.
Yeah.
So
I feel like I should predict Emma Stone because I think it's very likely anyway, and two, I think there's a really solid chance of the La La Land is winning even more things than we thought it would win.
You're right.
So if you want to bet on something that'll definitely put you ahead of everyone if you're right.
Yes.
Bet on Isabelle Huppert.
Yeah.
If you just are playing it safe, bet on Emma Stone.
100%.
To me, the most interesting race of the year.
Best actor?
Is best actor.
A real horse race.
It's not Viggo Mortensen.
No, although he was really wonderful.
Yeah, he was nice. And you see his whole penis.
You've seen his whole penis in the last movie he was nominated for also, don't you? Or am I conflating Eastern Promises and A History of Violence?
Which was he nominated for?
I think History of Violence.
I thought he was nominated for... In any case,
I should know this.
You see his whole penis in Eastern Promises.
Okay.
But then it's moving. This is like a nicely framed...
It's just
like,
him.
There he is, and now you've seen it.
I was very annoyed. I had the captions on. The captions were covering it, and I was like, this is not allowed.
Right.
Google Play.
Did you go back?
Of course,
yeah,
I went
that's
back.
That's what the rewind button is for. It's not Andrew Garfield.
No. Who was better in Silence than he was in Hacksaw Ridge.
That's true. And it's probably not Ryan Gosling. I don't want one of them to win and it to be Emma Stone, but that's way more likely.
I think that Ryan Gosling was better than Emma Stone, if you had to choose.
Yeah.
I think that really their chemistry was the best thing there.
Yeah.
There's no best chemistry category, unfortunately.
This is why Ruth Negga isn't going to win either. And I honestly think she could. It wouldn't bother me. It's one of those performances that's good because she does almost nothing.
Exactly.
And the best Ryan Gosling moments in La La Land, he's barely making noise.
Right.
The Oscar speech in La La Land is when he goes, "Welcome to Sips." That's his Oscar moment.
That's true.
But,
it really is.
But you don't get Oscars for that.
Right.
So we're talking about Denzel and Casey Affleck. Give me your thoughts.
Okay. Well, I think that everybody thought that Casey Affleck was a lock for a while.
Yeah.
And then Denzel won at the
Don't
SAG Awards.
Put that there.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Denzel won at the SAG Awards.
Yeah.
And I sort of had this like shattered glass moment of like, wait a second, he's so much better.
Yeah. Like, he definitely is.
He's like, look, Manchester by the Sea, I enjoyed that movie. And Casey Affleck looks very sad. He looks sad.
Mm-hmm.
And he's good at it. I think that, you know, like that's who he is as a person in a lot of ways, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
But then who he is as a person is also going to stop him from being someone you'd want to give an Oscar to because he's a real creep who sexually harassed his coworkers.
Yeah.
And Denzel Washington is one of the nicest people who's ever lived.
And the Meryl of men,
really. Really, he is the best working actor.
Yeah.
And he's been doing so good for 30 years, so I feel like we kind of take him for granted. But, like, I can't... First of all, he made that movie, which is another thing. You made a movie that people like.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't imagine another actor in that role. Like, it's possibly because there aren't enough black actors of his age.
Maybe.
But I just thought he was so good.
It's... Yeah, I talked to my dad about it. The only thing my dad had to say is that he doesn't necessarily hit any notes in Fences that he hasn't hit in other things.
He's right. But only because he's been so good for so long.
Right. But only because Denzel's toolkit is so amazing.
Right.
So I think we said this in the first half of the episode. Denzel is definitely the best.
Right.
Will he win, though? And it's interesting because a couple of weeks ago, the predictions were... Like we were saying for most of these, the vast majority of people said Casey Affleck's definitely winning. In recent weeks, now of those 26 experts, 14 pick Denzel and 12 pick Casey Affleck.
Wow.
I think it's going to end up being Casey Affleck because Oscars.
Okay.
I think that...
But we also have the situation where they've reformed the rank of the Academy. Cheryl Boone Isaacs, the president of the Academy, who's a black woman, responded to the Oscars so white criticism from April Rain and others and did something to make it better. And she brought in a lot of actors of color.
Right.
And I don't know if they actually got away with eliminating inactive older members. Did that actually go through?
They're working on that.
Yeah, okay.
That's yet to be finalized.
Okay.
Because some people say ageism and the other people say...
Look how many nominations Hacksaw Ridge got.
Yeah, and Sully is nominated for a couple things, which is... Sully's a terrible movie.
Yeah.
Is that the one you haven't watched
yet? I have not watched Sully yet. Okay. It's only nominated for Best Sound Editing, which is the creation of sound.
Yeah. Not a movie. It's a thing. It's a thing that happened for 5 minutes.
Yes. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, anyway. Here's that's true, and that had a lot to do with... much higher numbers of actors of color being nominated than ever before, right?
Oh, I don't actually know.
I don't think there's a year with as many actors and actresses of color being nominated as there was this year.
That's wonderful.
One black director, which
he's the fourth ever nominated.
Yeah, which for directing, it's directing is statistically five white guys 100% of the time. Yeah. It's very, very rare.
Yes.
Directors of documentaries, isn't I'm three?
Three of them have. Actually, I don't know who the person who directed O.J. is. I remember him having a famous mother, though.
Which O.J. Made in America, by the way, I think is definitely going to win. If it's not,
I think 13th is going to win.
Really?
Here's why. First of all, I think it's a better documentary. I loved O.J. Made in America. Like, I was like riveted for 7 hours, right? Yeah. I mean, I watched it over several days, but like it was like watching my favorite TV show.
Yeah.
But it's 7 hours long and has less of a strong thesis than 13th, which is 90 minutes long.
Oh, I don't. I think O.J. Made in America has one of the strongest theses of any movie I've ever seen.
Oh.
I think O.J. Made in America, of any documentary, I should say.
Okay, right.
I think O.J. Made in America explains what happened with the O.J. trial, which no one's really effectively done for 20 years.
Right.
I finished, and I did the same thing. I did not watch it in a straight 8-hour shot.
I don't think anyone did. Yeah.
People at Sundance, who were really thankful for those intermissions, but I left it going, I fully understand and appreciate everything about what happened at the OJ trial now,
okay.
Which tons of articles and documentaries and books have not been able to do.
Right.
So that's why I think it was a little better than the 13th. I just think that it's so damn much movie and so thorough that the voters are not going to be able to resist it. But we're talking about Best Actor right now.
Yes,
I think we are.
Oh, wait. The other thing, though, is that Ava DuVernay, I just learned how to pronounce her name, too, directed it. And she was grossly snubbed for Selma. And there are people who want to correct their wrongs in the Academy.
Yeah. You could be right. I will not be surprised if that happens.
I will also not be surprised if OJ wins.
I will be surprised if any of the other three win. I think it's between the two of those.
Fire at Sea is boring.
I might have. What's it about?
It's one of the refugee movies. It's about an island in the Mediterranean that refugees land on.
Okay.
But it like mostly is about a little boy who has a lazy eye.
Ah.
He's not a refugee.
Yeah, right.
It's just terrible.
Okay. Don't watch that.
The New York Times is like, this is a brilliant impressionist, whatever. Ugh.
I feel like I don't want to get into shit talking the New York Times because that puts me on the wrong bus right now. That said,
that's true.
I feel like the two main critics, A.O. Scott and Manolo Dargis, know so hard that they are basically the critic of record.
Yeah.
That occasionally they do something wacky just to be different. Like when A.O. Scott said Sausage Party was one of the best films of the year.
Oh, wow.
I feel like they like throw a curveball when it's been 6 weeks and they haven't had a weird opinion. I feel like they deliberately make themselves have a weird
opinion.
Well,
I mean, I guess it's not a weird opinion because Fire at Sea is nominated for Best Documentary Feature.
Maybe.
Or is this a chicken and egg situation? Somebody was like, oh, Manolo Dargis loved it.
Yeah, it could be that.
I can't remember who wrote that article.
Back to Best Actor.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Casey Affleck as well.
Oh, okay.
But again, I reserve up to Oscar night to change my choices. And it is just a dead heat. So
it really is. I think that as much as the more diverse ranks have had a really big effect on nominees, it's not, those numbers aren't high enough to necessarily affect winners just yet.
Right.
And I feel like this is the actual mindset of an old white Academy voter is going, listen, I'm voting for Davis. I'm voting for Ali. I've done enough.
I completely agree.
I feel like that's legitimately how they think.
Yeah. Gross. So,
which is gross and dumb.
I mean, I think that that's why Viola Davis lost for The Help. People were like, well, I voted for Octavia Spencer.
Yeah.
So who else do I like? Oh, Meryl Streep's always good.
I hope it's Denzel, though. I mean, that's a speech I want to hear.
Me too.
And let's go to Best Picture.
Okay.
Let's discuss the things that definitely aren't winning. Hell or High Water is definitely not winning.
That's correct.
Hacksaw Ridge is definitely not winning.
That is also correct.
Arrival is definitely not winning.
Which is a shame. I can see that being a valid choice for Best Picture.
Yeah. I love Arrival. I could watch Arrival every 6 months for the rest of my life. Lion is definitely not winning.
Which I think is also something that could be Best Picture.
And Fences is definitely not winning because...
I was surprised Fences was nominated. That's a play in front of a camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great play.
It's got the two best overall performances of the year.
Yeah.
But the direction is there.
Not great.
And the adaptation
I will say there. That the scene painting was just spot on.
Yeah.
That's one of my students. That's why I'm saying that. Hi, Chris.
Say what?
My student in my 101 class, in Mary Best 101 class, Christopher St. Pierre, did the scene painting in Fences.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
So we're left with four here.
Yeah.
Manchester by the Sea.
No.
Hidden Figures.
I wish.
Moonlight and La La Land.
Right.
And I'm being generous in including Manchester by the Sea and Hidden Figures in that. Hidden Figures, has this tiny... what was the name of that guy? What was that name of that guy from Utah who ran for best president only
Evan McMullen.
I just said best president. which, let's have that race. The nominees are, it's Obama. He wins best president. I mean, it comes down to Obama and Reagan if you look at the votership, but then I think at the end. Anyway, okay. Side note, I don't think Reagan was a good president.
Important side note.
Hidden Figures, yeah, McMullen, where it's like, if these eight crazy things all happen, Evan McMullen becomes president.
Right.
That's Hidden Figures to me if we just wildly underestimated how much the Academy liked Hidden Figures, and there's weird vote splitting on top.
Right.
And
because if you want a headache, go look up how the preferential voting works for Best Picture.
Oh, it's insane.
It's ridiculously complicated, and it always does add this sort of, well, maybe.
Because there are worlds in which the thing that wins got no first place votes.
Right.
Based on the way it reshuffles votes. That could benefit Hidden Figures.
Agreed.
There's a similarly, one in a thousand chance for Manchester by the Sea if the Moonlight and La La Land vote split is way more real than I think it is.
Right, but La La Land is going to win Best Picture.
But La La Land is definitely going to win Best Picture. Moonlight is the closest.
Right.
Again, if you vote for a second thing, that's Moonlight. Because it's the best picture of the year to me and really, really, really good. So it's going to get so many votes based on, look, this is just really good.
Well, I'm picking Hidden Fences as my two because La La Land is so definitely going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Did I just say Hidden Fences?
You did.
Oh my God, I'm so white.
No, because that's a meme. You did it because...
did it because I'm white.
You were being funny.
Thank you. Hidden Figures is what I have picked as two for the Isabelle Huppert reasons of if it wins, I want to look smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the biggest upset of our lifetime.
No.
What
is the biggest upset of our lifetime?
I mean, people say Crash,
we knew that. I picked Crash.
Everyone who was paying attention knew it was going to be Crash.
Yeah. I was genuinely surprised that Spotlight won, but I did have it picked as second.
That was again a Critics' Choice influencing my mind thing because it won the Critics' Choice Awards, and we tend a little bit more towards the gritty badass movie.
Okay.
So I was like, if it won, if Revenant lost an easier race with us, then it's going to lose with the Academy at large.
Okay.
So I was not surprised at Spotlight.
Yeah.
Anyway, this year, La La Land is just...
It's just going to win.
It's the Oscariest movie that ever Oscared.
Right.
Since, Chicago or The Artist. But even The Artist was like, it's an underdog because it's a silent movie. Isn't that crazy? Holy crap, a silent movie won when it was like, it's going to win because it's charming.
About
and has that
Hollywood.
Dog. But it's what I've been saying the whole time. When something is this good and this... giving a blowjob to Hollywood.
Yes.
It can't lose.
It just can't lose.
So
if I didn't like it, I'd feel differently, but I did like it, and I am not the kind of person who likes that movie.
Yeah. It's, that 20 minutes at the end.
Oh, God. I'm going to cry just thinking about it. Okay.
Well, it's and not, I think I've said this about Mary Beth on the show before. We sat down to watch the screener. We were 20 minutes in. I think she went to get another beer, and I paused it. And she said, yeah, I don't know about this movie. I don't know if this is for me. And when it got to the montage at the end, she was weeping softly.
Yep.
It's just that good.
Yep.
And it'll win, and it'll be in every... You're going to see one frame of La La Land in every Oscars for the rest of time.
The arms up thing?
I think it's tap dancing on the bench.
Okay, I was thinking of right. It's like what's on the poster is right after they tap dance on the bench, and they both have their arms at askew.
That is going to be next to Leonardo DiCaprio yelling, "I'm king of the world," in every montage of Oscar winners forever. And okay,
yeah,
it's really good. I'm not going to be
look.
Upset.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, give me a prediction about the ceremony. I don't know. I don't know how to wrap up an Oscar episode.
So
Jimmy Kimmel will be okay.
John Legend is performing both of the songs from La La Land, which is going to be really interesting to see if they're actually good.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
We're not doing all five songs, are
they? They are doing all five songs. Hmm. Yeah. Which I thought they might cut the songs entirely because they need more room in the necrology.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right. That's the big...
Who's going to get left out?
Who's going to get...
I mean, like David Bowie? Is he going to be in there?
Prince will get left out.
Yeah, which is not cool, guys.
Yeah. I bet you David Bowie doesn't and Prince does, and that's the controversy the next morning.
Like it. That's a good prediction.
And it'll be a shot of Labyrinth. Because what are you, the prestige? No. Actually, this is the most interesting race. Who's the final face in the In Memoriam? Because you're going to want to say Carrie Fisher.
But it's not going to be Carrie Fisher.
I think it's going to be Gene Wilder.
Oh, I hope so. That would look, I love Carrie Fisher, okay? Yeah. But Gene Wilder is a better choice.
But is it Debbie Reynolds?
No.
Is she the first?
The first is often the person who died most recently, which I think she did.
And who's died since 2017 began? George the Animal Steel will not be in the montage.
No.
He was in Ed Wood.
Oh.
I don't know.
Oh, this is like a whole separate, like, I could make a whole ballot about this, but I haven't done my research.
I mean, I can kind of picture, like, Yo-Yo Ma sitting alone on the Oscar stage, because it's always Yo-Yo Ma, and playing, and then Emma Stone is dancing, and, like, somehow CGI Emma Stone morphs into Debbie Reynolds in Singing in the Rain, and that's how it starts.
That sounds awesome.
We're now at a pitch meeting for the In Memoriam montage. I think Gene Wilder is the end, unless I'm forgetting someone very big.
Right.
I think Carrie Fisher is where it's like the fourth one and everyone claps even though they were instructed not
to. Man, why don't they just kill the mics in the house?
Some years they do.
Okay.
Yeah. Was there a Grammy In Memoriam montage?
I don't know. I didn't watch the Grammys. I was watching Oscar movies.
Because they're the worst. Because they're the dumbest words
ever.
The
whole Adele thing, though, apparently there's like a special committee that can override the vote, which is what people are saying happened. I don't have a solid source on this. The lead singer from The Village People wrote an open letter in which he says this is the situation.
There was a lead singer in The Village People?
According to him, he was the lead singer in The Village
People. Which one was it?
Oh, I don't know.
Let's assume it was the Cowboy.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter
at Sean Collier, PGH,
and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com.
Epicast.